Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll look at Quran chapter 3 and verse 102. That's where we stop in our series to learn about a contradiction in the Quran. You have heard me in the past talk about the doctrine of abrogation and how Muhammad, or Allah through Muhammad, changed his own words. So he gave a command, a little bit later he gave an opposite command. If Allah or Muhammad has a change of mind. Now in our case here today, we'll see that Allah gave a different command because people, these are the early Muslim believers, had a complaint. And that is the reality of the teaching of the Quran. That is, by the way, a great evidence that the Quran cannot be the word of God. Because the Quran itself declared that no one can change the words of Allah. And that is what we read in Quran chapter 6 and verse 34. For there we read, and no one can change the words of Allah. So how can people influence Muhammad that he can change the word of Allah or may ask Allah to change his own words to appease his followers? Without further ado, let us read together the first verse, which is Quran chapter 3 and verse 102. And notice, by the way, when you read these verses in the Quran, if you do not know the commentaries of Muslim scholars, you will not see anything wrong with these verses. Quran 3:102, Allah stated, O you have believed, fear Allah, his true fear, and do not die except you are Muslims. It's a very simple verse. Two commands given to Muslim believers. The first command is this. O you have believed, fear Allah, his true fear. You fear Allah, his true fear. And the second command is not to die except as Muslims. So do not change your religion. Do not become a Christian. Do not become a Jew. Do not become an atheist or idol worshiper. So continue to live as Muslim believers and die as Muslim believers. But the most important part, which I would like to concentrate on our study today, is the statement, fear Allah, his true fear. As we read Muslim scholars' interpretation to Quran 3:102, it was said, when Muhammad told his followers to fear Allah, his true fear, they asked him, O Master of Allah, what is the true fear of Allah? He said, the true fear of Allah is to be obeyed and never be disobeyed, and that he will be remembered and never be forgotten, and to be thankful for him and never become an infidel in him. So they said, O Master of Allah, who can do that? It is hard, it's impossible for us to fear Allah, that kind of fear. So they became so worried because Allah descended that verse on Muhammad. They became very distressed. A little bit later, Muhammad came with another command in the Quran, and that is to assure Muslim believers that they must obey and live by the judgment of the new verse. And that is when Allah said, that is what is written in Quran chapter 22 and verse 78, and perform jihad in Allah, his true jihad. He elected you and he did not place on you any hardship in the religion of your father Abraham. He has named you the Muslims before, and in this, that the messenger may be witness against you and that you may witness against the people. So perform the prayer and bring the legal alms and hold fast to Allah. He is your protector. So blessed is the protector and blessed is the helper. The important portion of that verse once again is the statement, and perform jihad in Allah, his true jihad. And when the Muslim believers heard that statement from Muhammad, their condition became even worse. They did not like it at all, because now not only they have to fear Allah, his true fear, but they must perform jihad for the sake of Allah, his true jihad, which means they must do for Allah his true work. and their brains were almost shocked. They could not take it anymore. That was the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari. Now, when Muhammad saw that, and he was a political man, he knows exactly what to do. If you're going to lose your people, change the words, change the message, change the technique, move to a different level, help them out. And that's exactly what Muhammad did by giving Muslim believers a new verse. And that is Quran chapter 64 and verse 16, where he declared that Allah abrogated, canceled, erased, deleted that which we have read in Quran chapter 3 verse 102 and in Quran chapter 22 and verse 78. Imagine with me, two direct commands of Allah has been abrogated with the new verse. And what is the new verse? That is Quran chapter 64 verse 16 will read the following. So fear Allah with what you can and hear and obey and spend best for yourself. Whoever is saved from the stinginess of his soul, so those are the prosperous. And once again, the important part of that verse, which made the Muslims so happy as they rejoice beyond measure. That is when Muhammad told them, so fear Allah with what you can. Instead of fear Allah, his true fear, and perform jihad for the sake of Allah, his true jihad. No. Fear Allah with what you can. The best you can to do to Allah is acceptable. You don't have to fear Allah all the way. Just fear Him the best as you can. Do your best. Have you ever heard a teacher tell students who are not doing good, do your best? Mom and dad tell their children, do your best. Is this the best you can? It's acceptable. No. Maybe we can say that to our children to encourage them to do their best. But with God, if Allah is God, how in the world He changed His words to command the Muslim believers to fear Him the best as you can. The best as they can. That does not make any sense at all. But when the believers heard that, they rejoiced with great joy because now they don't have to fear Allah, His true fear. Now, when I look at what is written in the Holy Bible about the fear of God, I see a completely different story. By the way, when we talk about fear God, we're not afraid of God, but that is a fear of reverence, of honor, of love and respect. Because we love the Lord, we fear Him, we reverence Him, we honor Him. And in our fear to God, there is blessing, that is wisdom, that is prosperity. That's exactly what is good for us if we can live to fear God. I'm going to share with you a few verses so you can see the difference between the teaching of Muhammad about fearing Allah, the God of Muhammad, and the teaching of the Holy Spirit about fearing God. Let's begin by looking at what the book of Proverbs teaches us about the fear of God. And that is in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. And there we read the following. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Can you imagine that with me? To fear God is the beginning of wisdom. So if you fear God, you have wisdom. If you don't fear God, you live like a fool. And now we ask the question, how much should we fear God? His true fear or halfway fear or the best as we can afford to fear God? That is ridiculous. That's not a question to be discussed at all. Because if you fear God, you got all the wisdom you need. The more you fear God, the wiser you are. What is wrong with that? Let's move on to Psalms. For in the book of Psalms, I will share with you just a couple verses. First, in Psalm 128, verse 1. Listen to what the psalmist wrote to us. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Imagine with me, when you fear the Lord and you walk in His ways, you be blessed. So how much should I fear God? Well, how much you want to be blessed? There's no casual fear of God. There is no the best as you can fear God. I want to be blessed all the way. Therefore, I'm going to fear God all the way. I won't be blessed. Therefore, I will fear the Lord as I walk in His ways.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straightway of Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Let me share with you another verse from the book of Psalms. That is Psalm 130 and verse 4. For there we read, "But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared." Imagine with me, when I fear the Lord, I receive forgiveness. Who would like to receive forgiveness of his sin or her sin? Everyone. So how much should you fear God? The best as you can or all the way? Of course, I want to be forgiven, and that's why I fear God all the way. That is what is written in the book of Psalms. Let me read to you a verse from the New Testament, and that is what the Apostle Peter wrote to us in his first letter, chapter 2 and verse 17. A direct command about fearing God and others. For there we read, "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." What a direct and clear command. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the direct teaching of the Holy Spirit, which was given to us through the Apostle Peter. This is not Muhammad's opinion or Peter's opinion or any human opinion. That is the direct command and the clear command of the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, how He wants us to live, not only in our relationship with God, but in our relationship with others. So what do we learn from that verse? We learn to love, to obey, to honor, and to fear, not as best as we can, but all the way. And I do not see any of the early Christians writing or asking Peter, how much should we do that? When we honor all the people, how much should we honor them the best as we can, or we honor them all the way? Should we love the brotherhood? How much should we love the brotherhood? Fear God. How much should we fear God? Nobody asks these questions in the early church. And we don't ask today. Why? Because if you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and you live the Christian life, the biblical teaching, there's no such a thing as how much or what is the limitation. We love God and we fear God and we honor God with everything we have, with every strength, with all our soul and our might. That is how we Christians know how to live the Christian life. And now let's move on to another verse. That's Quran chapter 3 and verse 140. And I know that Muslims all over the world are claiming that the Quran is the perfect word of Allah. Word for word were written on the guarded board 50,000 years before the creation of the world. And Allah kept it on that guarded board. He is the one who protected His Quran. And no one can touch or change the words of Allah. But when we investigate that claim by looking at some specific verses in the Quran and the interpretation of these verses by so-called Muslim scholars, we discover that that's not the case. Many of the verses of the Quran were written because Muhammad heard it from people around him. Sometimes he picked up verses, as we covered that in the past, from Umar, his second successor after the death of Abu Bakr Siddiq. And sometimes he hears some words given by some people, just general people, not even from the close companion of Muhammad. Or as we're going to see in this verse, it was actually a statement stated by a woman after the battle of Uhud. And Muhammad, the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, claimed that her words, which he inserted in the Quran, are the word of Allah revealed to him. For in Quran chapter 3 verse 140 we read, "If a wound has touched you, so indeed a wound like it has also touched the people before. And such are the days we alternate between the people, and that Allah may know those who believe, and He takes martyrs from among you, and Allah does not love the unjust." By the way, when you read about Allah love in the Quran, you see that He loves the killers. That is, Allah loves those who engage in war for His sake. And when you read about Allah does not love, it is all over the Quran. Maybe in the future, I would like to do a study about what Allah loves and what Allah does not love throughout the Quran. For now, that statement, which is given in Quran chapter 3, verse 140, was told by a woman in Muhammad days. You see, there was a battle, it's called the Battle of Uhud. And Muhammad was a little bit delayed to come back from that battle. So the women came out to ask some of the people who were coming from the battlefield. One woman asked, "What happened to Muhammad?" They said, "He's alive." She said, "I do not really care. Because if Allah took him, he'll be one of those who were martyred." Muhammad liked that statement and he used it. And he inserted in Quran chapter 3 and verse 140. Not only Muhammad took these words from that believing woman, but also Muhammad took from men in general in his days. And that is what is written in Quran chapter 3 and verse 144. Just four verses after that verse, which he took from that woman. For there we read, "And Muhammad is not but a messenger. Indeed, the messengers pass before him. If he dies or is killed, will you turn on your heels? And who turns on his heels will not harm Allah anything, and Allah will reward the thankful." When you read a verse like that in the Quran, you wonder, what was the reason why Allah made that statement in the Quran? Surprise, surprise, you found out it was not actually Allah who made the statement, but these were words of men. We read from Ibn Abbas, which is the first cousin of Muhammad, and Mujahid and Ad-Dahhak, that when Muhammad went down in the Battle of Uhud, he ordered the archers to stay by the base of the mountain, and they should not move from there no matter what. But because they won against the infidels, Muhammad and his companions continued to fight, and they had a victory against Abu Sufyan. So the archers left the base of the mountain and they went after the spoil. At the time, there was a man by the name Khalid ibn al-Walid who was the leader of the infidels. When he saw what happened, he engaged in war with the Muslims and he had a great victory against them. And he killed many of the Muslim believers. A man by the name Abdullah ibn Qamiya al-Harisi threw a rock on Muhammad. So he broke Muhammad's arm and split his face. And he came near to Muhammad desiring to kill him. So Ibn Qamiya killed the man who held the banner, which named Mus'ab ibn Amir. And he thought that he killed Muhammad. So he said, "I killed Muhammad." And he shouted, "Muhammad is killed." And the news spread among all the people that Muhammad was killed. Some of the hypocrites said, "If he was a true prophet, he would never be killed. Return to your religion. Return to your brothers." That is the advice they gave to the Muslims, those who were fighting with Muhammad. And that's when a man by the name Anas ibn al-Nadr, the uncle of Anas ibn Malik, he made the following statement. "If Muhammad was killed, so surely the Lord of Muhammad does not die. And what do you do in this life after Muhammad? Continue to engage in war, to follow his engagement in war, and die as he died." Then he said, "O Allah, I apologize to you concerning what those have said." And that's when he draw his sword and he continued to fight and he continued to kill until he was killed. And many other men came after that, doing the same thing and continue to fight in the way of Muhammad. In the meantime, a man by the name Talha ibn Abdullah, when he saw the wound of Muhammad, he defended him with Abu Bakr and Ali and many others. Muhammad blamed the archers because they did not obey his command, and because of them, the Muslims were defeated. The Muslim believers said, "O Messenger of Allah, we will save you with our fathers, with our mothers. We heard that you were killed. That's why we were filled of fear and our heart trembled. And that's why we ran away." And the words of that verse, Quran chapter 3 and verse 144, was simply an echoing of what the men in the battle of Uhud said. And the main message of that verse is simply that many messengers came before Muhammad and they are gone, but their followers continue to hold into their belief. So Muslims must hold fast with the religion of Allah, Islam, because the purpose of the descending of the messenger is very simple. It is to give the message and to encourage the people to do what they are commanded in the message of Allah. And that was the interpretation of Ar-Razi for Quran chapter 3 and verse 144. What is so amazing about Quran 3:144 was never heard by anyone but Mus'ab ibn Amir, as stated by As-Suyuti. But amazingly, after that, Muhammad stated that Allah descended these words of that verse on him. And that is what we read in the book of Itqan fi Ulum al-Quran, the chapter of what has descended of the Quran on the tongue of the companions of Muhammad. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.